hell was not for you. It was for the devil and his angels to go to hell. You got to decide that.
A lot of people think hell's a party place. But if you buy into that idea, Dr. Tony Evans says you'll regret it for eternity.
The worst part of hell is being able to see heaven and not go there.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Today, Dr. Evans will paint a clear and sobering picture of what hell is and isn't, and explain why people make a deliberate choice to wind up there. Let's join him as he explains.
Hell is the place of eternal exile, where the ungodly experience God's just retribution against sin. Now, most people live in a state of denial about hell. While 76% of Americans believe in heaven, only 6% believe in hell. At the thought of hell, people have developed what we might call coping mechanisms. Some people cope by simply skipping it. They prefer not to deal with it, and so they pretend like it either does not exist or could not exist. They treat it much like death. I'd rather not think about it. And so they try to cope by ignoring it. Some people try to deal with it through a belief in annihilation. That is, there is no place called hell. You just go to the grave and you're annihilated. That is, you don't exist anymore. You cease to exist. Others take a different route and hold to a universalist perspective that some way, somehow, God's going to fix it so everybody will be saved. At the heart of all of this is a viewpoint that says that if God does exist, and if God is a God of love, then there cannot be a place called hell. Some would go so far as to say, enlightened man today cannot take seriously the thought of hell. And then there's the whole question of, if there is a hell, what is it like? How bad is it? And on and on and on and on and on. Well, let me say this at the outset. We must allow God to speak for himself. He does not need us to speak for him. And you and I, as we approach this most serious subject, must understand that your reason about this subject must be made subject to God's revelation. That how you feel about it must be subjected to what God says about it. Because no amount of dismissing it removes it from the Bible. People want to pick and choose the parts of God they like and ignore the parts that they do not like or cannot understand. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Then he will say to those who are on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, I want to point out two things. The discussion of eternal fire is number one in the Bible. It's in the book. And please note in verse 46, he says, some will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The Greek word for eternal is the same word. So it's not like heaven is good eternal life and hell is something different in terms of its eternality. It's the same concept. If heaven lasts forever, hell lasts forever. If hell does not last forever, then how do I know how long heaven lasts since it's the same eternal? So there's more at stake in this discussion than simply ignoring a subject. It is that this subject carries the same weight as its flip side, heaven. Jesus also stated that this place is to be avoided at all costs. If you turn back to chapter 18 of Matthew, he says in verse 8, and if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. Because it is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than having two hands or two feet to be cast into eternal fire. If your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into the fiery hell. Now, this doesn't sound like a place you want to hang out. Jesus is saying here that hell is to be avoided at all costs. The dangers of being lured by sin into hell are very real. The reason I know that hell is real, in addition to the fact that the Bible says it and Jesus says it, and of course the apostles say it too, but the reason I know it is real is because death is real. And death exists because of sin. If there were no sin, there would be no death. The fact that there is death is the natural result of sin. All death is the temporal reality of the presence of sin. Hell is the eternal reality of the presence of sin, and it is called the second death. The reality of death that we don't like to think about means the reality of hell that we also don't like to think about. And yet, not thinking about it doesn't get rid of it. If you are ignoring today the gospel of Jesus Christ, Jesus is saying you need major surgery. That's the reality of hell. You get rid of hell, get rid of God, get rid of Jesus, get rid of the Bible. The residence of hell, secondly, who lives there? Who goes there? Chapter 25, verse 41 tells us, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, why are Satan and his angels there? Satan and his angels are there because a long time ago, they made a choice to live life independently of God. Now, this is a very important verse because it tells you why hell was created. It was never created with human beings in mind. It was created, it says, for the devil and his messengers. And the reason it was created was because of their choice. But they're not the only ones in hell. People are in hell. But people only go to hell, which wasn't prepared for people, because they make the same choice. Now, don't misunderstand. This is not a temper tantrum. God doesn't have temper tantrums. His holiness represents his settled attitude about sin all the time. It's just he doesn't express it all the time, but he feels that way all the time. The Bible says God is angry with the wicked every day. It is his settled attitude toward sin. At least to a fourth point. The realm of hell. The Greek word for hell that's regularly used in the Gospels by Jesus Christ is the word Gehenna. Gehenna. When I was over in Israel, I looked at Gehenna. Gehenna was, in New Testament days, the local garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. It was where they put their garbage and set it aflame in order to burn it up. So when the Bible talks about hell, it's talking about a place called the Valley of Hinnom or Gehenna, the local garbage dump of Jerusalem. That's the word used for hell. So when you think about hell, think about garbage dump, because that's what Gehenna was. It was also the place where wicked people were buried. If you were a criminal, you couldn't go to a decent burial site. You got buried in Gehenna. So when we talk about hell, we're talking about Gehenna. It is the place where the worm dieth not. Because it was garbage, it bred worms. And no matter what amount of fire was there burning up the garbage, the worms always remained. Because they feed on filth. It is where the worm dieth not. It is Gehenna. were to give you one verse to describe hell, it would be in the opening verses of the Bible, Genesis 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That verse describes the place of eternal exile called hell. Because when Satan was kicked out of heaven and placed on earth, it contaminated the earth and turned the earth into a living hell, where there was darkness, where there was void, where there was emptiness. You recall God has to separate the land from the water in Genesis 1, because in Genesis 1, 2, what you've got is a big mud pile where the water and the land are all meshed together, a swamp, if you will. What then is hell? Hell is a wasteland outside of God's goodness where there is no exit and no change. Let me say that again. It is a wasteland, a marsh, a swamp, outside the realm of God's goodness where there is no exit and there is never any change.
Well, that's the bad news, but there's good news ahead, and Dr. Evans will come back with that in a moment. Stay with us.
It's just about the most exciting opportunity a pastor's wife could hope for. A luxurious 7-day cruise hosted by Lois Evans.
Take some time to come away to be refreshed, to relax, and also to get some training from some wonderful women that want to speak into your life.
You'll hear from Priscilla Shire, Debbie Titus, Crystal Evans Hurst, Meredith Shepherd, Gloria Morrow, and Rhoda Gonzalez, with worship by Carolyn Traylor.
There'll be time for networking and a whole host of other activities just for you.
And along the way, you'll stop in exciting ports of call in Jamaica, the Bahamas, the Cayman Islands, and the Mexican Riviera.
So you don't want to miss this wonderful time of celebration. It provides a safe place for you to network, for you to get spiritually fed.
The Pastor's Wives Ministry Cruise, February 22nd through 29th, 2020. Get details and make reservations today at TonyEvans.org.
You're in for the thrill of your life. I look forward to seeing you.
Your pastor's wife makes a lot of sacrifices, and this is a great opportunity to give something back. Don't just tell her about this cruise. Send her. Prime spaces are still available, but they're filling up fast. Visit TonyEvans.org for all the details and to sign her up. Also, while you're there, Tony's current series is quickly coming to an end, and you want to dig deeper into all he taught by getting this entire collection called The Afterlife: Glimpses of Heaven and Hell. These 6 messages will show you why popular portrayals of what happens after we die are often more imagination than revelation. Get the truth by asking for the Afterlife CD and Study Guide package. Yours with our thanks when you make a donation to keep Tony's teaching coming your way on this station. Get details and make the arrangements at TonyEvans.org or reach out to our 24-hour resource center by calling 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat that contact information in just a bit. But right now, let's get back to our message. Here's Dr. Evans.
Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 10. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets were also, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great, the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man according to his works. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. That is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the judgment of all non-believers. What is cast into the lake of fire, according to this verse? Death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire. Or to put it another way, hell is cast into the lake of fire. So now we have 2 places, not one. You have hell, where every non-believer goes the moment they die. The very second that they die, they enter into hell. And this place, this Hades place, place of death, is then cast into a lake. And it's called a lake of boiling sulfur and fire. In the Bible, fire is always used of the imagery of judgment. Or not always, but regularly used in the imagery of judgment. So let me now try as best I can to give you a summary view of hell. Just out of San Francisco is the best illustration I have of hell. Just outside of San Francisco is the Rock. You know it as Alcatraz. It is the place of exile. It's more of a museum now, but it was back in the day, the place where criminals were sent to be incarcerated for their crime. It's where evil people went. Situated around Alcatraz is a body of water that is shark infested. So you got two problems trying to escape Alcatraz. One is you can't swim that long to get to San Francisco without drowning, especially given the nature of the waters there. And two, if you try to swim, a shark gonna get you. So the lake surrounds the prison. The lake guarantees that nobody escapes the prison, because the prison is in the middle of the lake, or of the body of water that is so infested that you can't go anywhere. Hell is the prison where all the ungodly go who do not have eternal life abiding within them. And it is the place that has been constructed for Satan and his angels, the worst of criminals, and for everybody who aligns themselves with him. They go to a spiritual Alcatraz. Now, everybody's not equal. Some are under maximum security, some are under medium security, and some are under minimum security based on how bad they were. Hell will be the same way. Hell is not where people are on fire. That's a medieval caricature of hell, where people have got smoke puffing up out of them as though hell were a torture chamber. It is not. When the rich man opens up his eyes in hell, he opens up having a very intelligent conversation, not screaming. His thoughts are clear. He has no problem communicating in sentences that make sense. Then what's the torment? When the rich man opened up his eyes, he saw Lazarus afar off. You see, from Alcatraz, you can see San Francisco. From Alcatraz, you can see the tall buildings, the high rise. You can see pulsating life in the big city. And all you can do is look at where you could have been, where you'll never be. The worst part of hell is being able to see heaven and not go there, because it is surrounded by a lake of fire and brimstone. Fire's not on the people, fire's in the lake. It's a lake smoldering with fire. You can't swim across it. It's like having sharks in the water. You cannot escape this place. And even if you're a nice person and you're in minimum security, you're still on the Rock. And it is a place of the second death, where the stench of death never leaves and the worm never dies. It's like living in a graveyard. Let me close with a final word. I don't know about you, but I don't want to hang out there. That's not where I want to hang. And since I don't have a third choice here, I need to say a word about the rescue from hell. Good news. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because hell was not for you. It was for the devil and his angels to go to hell. You got to decide that. But I hear you saying, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm not a bad person. Fine. Then we've got a minimum security wing for you. Because hell is not predicated on how bad you were unless you're as good as God. Perfect. You don't get to go to heaven because God can't even look on the most minimum amount of sin. Jesus Christ says to those he must send to hell, I never knew you. But thanks be to God, God has a hell substitute program. In other words, God has a program he's come up with that while he cannot compromise his nature and skip sin, he will let somebody go to hell in your place. In other words, he will work it out so that if you buy the program, he will let somebody else go to hell for you and you don't have to go there. You say, well, I'm going to go out here and find me somebody to take my place. Well, you're probably going to have a hard time finding somebody for two reasons. Number one, nobody's going to want to take your place. And number two, nobody you know is qualified to take your place. Because whoever takes your place can't have any sin of their own that would send them to hell. Whoever takes your place, whoever substitutes for you must be an acceptable substitute and therefore not have to go to hell for themselves so that they are qualified to substitute for you. And there's only one man in the universe who qualifies, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, he who knew no sin, that became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. On the cross, God sent Jesus to Alcatraz and gave him an eternity worth of judgment so that he could switch places with you. God has offered at no cost to you to switch places with you, but only through the one who's qualified to do that, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, anybody who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and says, I don't want to go to hell, I am a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, I choose Jesus Christ to be my substitute. I look to him alone as the payer of my sin. I place my eternal confidence, not in what I can do because I've already blown it, but in what he has already done. God says he will take the death of Christ and apply it to your account, forgiving you of all of your sins and giving you a transfer out of hell to heaven.
And exactly what does it mean to come to Jesus Christ? Well, Tony says it starts by understanding what it doesn't mean. Here's what he said recently.
There is a myth that says you go to heaven by faith and good works. No, you go to heaven by faith alone, apart from works. If you add works, you've canceled grace. If you trust in the finished work of Christ, grace is ready to be received and given to you.
There's more to the story, and you don't have to wait another minute to find out more about it. Visit our website, tonyevans.org, and click on the link at the top that says Jesus. You'll find a video by Dr. Evans explaining how your new life can start today, along with some free downloadable resources that'll help you move on from there. TonyEvans.org is also the place for details on getting full-length CDs of all six messages in Tony's current series, The Afterlife, Glimpses of Heaven and Hell. When you make a contribution now, before this series wraps up next Tuesday, we'll be happy to send you the complete collection, and you'll also receive the companion study guide as a bonus. This is powerful material for your personal devotions or to share with a Sunday school class or home Bible study. Donate today and ask for the Afterlife CD and Study Guide package when you visit tonyevans.org or call our Resource Center, where team members are ready to help you 24 hours a day at 1-800-800-3222. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222 or visit tonyevans.org. Today, we learned what hell is. On Monday, Dr. Evans paints a chilling picture of what it's like. It's an important message you won't want to miss. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.